time for our weekly look at the latest in national politics. John Boehner is out as Speaker of the House. He'll leave Congress completely at the end of October. And today is the deadline for Congress to avoid a government shutdown.
Joining us now for a look at those and other top stories is Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back.
So one day after hosting Pope Francis for a speech to Congress, Speaker of the House John Boehner announced that he's going to leave Congress at the end of October. How big of a surprise was that to people in Washington?
I think it depends on who you talk to. I think that there has always been this thought that Boehner's time was sort of limited or coming to an end, but I don't think most people thought it was going to happen this quickly. I mean, it was just a week before where he says, oh, I'm not stepping down. What are you, crazy? I guess a week is in politics is a lifetime. And I think Boehner just basically recognized the facts that were on the ground, that it was going to be very difficult to pass this budget. They probably were going to be able to do so, but he would have to spend a lot of political capital. And more than that, the people who would be supporting him, and let's say if there was a leadership fight, were getting a lot of pressure from their constituents. And it just, what the juice just wasn't worth the squeeze anymore. Where I think Boehner recognized, look, I want this budget to get passed. I want the Republican caucus to get along, and while I could stay in top, it just wasn't worth the fight.
Just coincidence that this happened the day after the papal visit, which presumably was something that mattered a lot to John Boehner.
I don't know if it's coincidence or not. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, obviously Boehner is a Roman Catholic, so he was very much touched. He spoke about the Pope a number of times, both when he announced his resignation and to reporters the night before. So I think, of course, it may have been a spiritual experience for him, but whether or not that was what ultimately caused it is between him and the Pope and him and God.
Now, for whom is Boehner's departure seen as a victory or a defeat?
This is what the beautiful thing about politics is. It can be seen as a victory or defeat for any number of people. I think it's seen as a victory, you know, certainly for Tea Party types, for the Freedom Caucus. You know, they had wanted him to get out. But who are they replacing him with? They're replacing him with Kevin McCarthy, who, according to most ideological measures, is actually to the left of John Boehner. Democrats see this as, the Republicans are going crazy, and it's going to be great. We'll be able to say Republicans are crazy, but Republicans are going to get the budget passed. It seems that Republicans are coming together. But, of course, we'll have another budget showdown coming up sooner rather than later. So we'll see if Republicans are actually able to keep it together, how long the honeymoon period for Kevin McCarthy, who is probably going to be the speaker, will actually last.
What do we know about Kevin McCarthy?
Well, we know, you know, Kevin McCarthy is a representative from out in California. He's risen up the ladder very, very quickly. I believe he's the fastest person to reach the speakership since the 1890s. And what's also very interesting is in a country that's becoming more diverse, but a Republican Party whose base is still mostly white Americans, his district is 35% Latino. So, you know, on a subject such as immigration, it'll be interesting to see if maybe McCarthy is able to move the party a little bit more towards a centrist position. Of course, the Republican Party has been hesitant to do so, so we'll see.
It's been quite a ride, hasn't it? Eric Cantor was seen as the likely successor to Boehner. Now, it's sort of anyone's guess what direction the Republican Party is going to go in, I mean, because there's not just one strand of conservatism going forward.
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, a moment in politics is a lifetime. You have to strike when the iron is hot. And it was just, you know, a year and a half ago when it looked like Eric Cantor was going to be in a perfect position to become the first Jewish speaker in the House of Representatives. And then he gets defeated in a primary by David Bratt in Virginia, an upset that nobody saw was coming. But Kevin McCarthy has proven himself to be a shrewd politician, proven himself to be able to reach across the different factions of the Republican Party. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be kept in mind. It's not just about your ideological record. It's how you get along with colleagues. At the end of the day, the Congress is still a buddy-buddy club with 435 members in the House of Representatives. And if you lose, you know, support from members of your caucus, even if you're the most conservative guy, which you can if you're just not a nice guy, then you're worth nothing versus someone like Kevin McCarthy, who clearly has good human relations skills, has been able to rise up the ladder, and at this point he probably will become the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
We're talking with Harry Enten right now, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com, and he joins us every week to talk about the latest in politics. And so Kevin McCarthy, presuming he does, as you say, and everybody else is saying, and he ascends to this position of Speaker of the House, Is he stepping into an impossible job, even with those impeccable people skills that you just mentioned?
You know, it's always interesting to see what happens. But look, the facts on the ground are still what they were. You have a large Republican majority in the House of Representatives, and you have a Senate which, although it has a Republican majority, is not one that's a filibuster-proof majority, so you're going to see Democrats still blocking legislation. And you have a president of the United States who, whether Republicans like it or not, is still a Democrat, who is not going to sign things that are not favorable to Democratic positions. So if you have Republican legislators on the far right who are saying, oh, we have to push for more conservative pieces of legislation, you have those constituents back home who are saying push for this, and then they can't actually get it through, and they're going, what's going on? Those facts haven't changed at all. John Boehner was not responsible for the fact that President Obama was the President of the United States. So it's going to be interesting to see if Kevin McCarthy can actually calm down people and say, you know what, let's ride out the storm, let's get through the next year, let's not do anything foolish, and let's see if we can get a Republican president. And if they can do so, then maybe they can pass some more conservative legislation. But at this point, it's not like all of a sudden Kevin McCarthy comes in and everyone's going to join hands together and sing Kumbaya. The facts on the ground are still the same.
Well, I got to ask you, in your estimation, what accounts for doing something foolish? What would that be?
I think something foolish might be something along the lines of another government shutdown. You know, although Republicans were able to win a number of seats in 2014 and were able to take back the majority in the Senate, I think a government shutdown is something that would be foolish. Most voters don't want it. Most voters would blame Republicans. I think, you know, tying a government shutdown to Planned Parenthood funding would be something that would be very foolish, because even a majority of Republicans don't want that. I think, you know, just the overall rhetoric and tone of going after President Obama in a disrespectful fashion. There's certainly Democrats who go after Republicans in a disrespectful fashion, but most voters at this point believe it's the Republican Party that is holding things up in Washington. So I think just a calming of the waters, a calming down, keeping the tone respectful, I think is just very, very key moving forward.
And we're going to come back to that possible shutdown in a bit. But first, you know, we've got Boehner stepping down, and then you've also got these calls for Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, to step down as well. What are the complaints against McConnell?
I mean, you know, it's the same complaints as they were against Boehner. Oh, he's moving things along. He's trying to pass legislation. You know, he's giving too much into President Obama. These are the same exact calls that were made against John Boehner. The difference being, I think, in the Senate is, first off, the Republicans in the Senate tend to be a little bit more moderate than the Republicans in the House of Representatives. A number of Republican senators, you know, are representing states that are much more purplish. You've seen senators such as Kelly Ayotte up in New Hampshire saying, you know, we don't want this government shut down. There's no purpose to it. So to me, the calls ring a little more hollow and are going to be a little bit more difficult to actually adhere to. And you've already heard people, senators going after Ted Cruz, who's been, you know, trying to charge up, saying we have to bring the fight to the Democrats, and saying, Ted Cruz, back off. You know, you don't need to be doing what you're doing. So there's obviously a chance. Look, if the Boehner thing has taught me anything, it's never say never. You just don't know what happened tomorrow. But I think McConnell is in a much better position than John Boehner ever was.
Okay, and so getting back to that possible shutdown, today the deadline is for Congress to avoid a government shutdown, I should say, and the Senate passed a continuation bill that would keep the government funded until December 11th. So what happens now, and where are we?
Well, I mean, you know, that was part of the reason that John Boehner did agree to step down, was he wanted, you know, to be able to get this continuing resolution so that the government would be funded, and it was thought that if he did, then there would be some goodwill, and that does seem to be coming into fruition, whereby the government will not be shut down, but Boehner's going to be gone in a month, and then we're going to face the same thing in December. And who knows where we're going to be in December? I think it's a matter of, you know, how angry is the Republican Congress? How well does Kevin McCarthy's first days as Speaker go? You know, it's one thing to sit on the sidelines and say, I'm going to bring everybody together. It's another thing to actually go into action and then do it. And so we'll see. Who knows how Kevin McCarthy will be a Speaker? If he's risen so fast, he can't be all that bad in terms of bringing the caucus together. But being the top man is different than being the second of top man.
And Harry, just very briefly, what is your take on how all this jockeying politically is spilling over into the presidential race?
You know, I think Kevin McCarthy was the consensus choice. There hasn't been, you know, too much discussion going on in the presidential race, except for Ted Cruz, who continues to be someone who's not well-liked by the party. If he were better liked by the party, and he is conservative as he was, he might be in better shape in the presidential race. But right now, Ted Cruz is just getting in the way of Ted Cruz.
Well, Harry, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time for a look at the latest in national politics.